Welcome, everyone, to the Kathy Lee Parker Show, the number one place for enlightened and entertaining guests, positive vibes, and information that is spot on. And now, for your listening pleasure, your host, Kathy Lee Parker.
Thank you for tuning in. Today we have Prince of Palm Springs, Fleet Easton. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing wonderful, Kathy. The only thing is, here in Palm Springs today, you know, we're noted for our beautiful sunny weather.
Well, yes, you are.
We're like the rest of Southern California. It's cold, gray, and rainy.
No way. No, Palm Springs always so beautiful.
Well, it's a little gray today, but, you know, we have to have the rain so we can have the beautiful flowers.
That's true. That's true. I noticed that the weather's been funky this March so far, and it's here in the mountains here in Utah as well. It's kind of funky a little. One minute it's in the 60s, and the next day it's freezing. I'm not kidding you.
That's what we're doing right now here.
Wow.
That's what we're doing. Yeah.
So tell me your story. Tell me, where are you from?
Okay, I was born in Akron, Ohio, many moons ago. And I knew as a young child, I'd always be in show business. I did my first solo debut at the age of 5 with an orchestra. And actually, someone heard me singing, and they offered me a solo. And that was my first appearance. I sang How Great Thou Art, and I just knew always. I used to dance around the house and sing all the time, and all of my relatives kept telling my parents, you got to put this kid in show business. You got to put this kid in show business. Well, in Akron, Ohio, there's not much show business there, but I knew someday that it was going to happen, and I actually took a potato masher, a wooden one, and I covered it in aluminum foil, and that was my microphone, and I knew one day I would have a microphone.
The things we did when we were younger is make-believes. So do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have a stepbrother, one stepbrother, and I haven't talked to him for a couple of years. He still lives in Akron, Ohio. But I guess he's doing well. I heard he's dating a woman that's a millionaire, so he must be doing okay.
He's stable. So tell me a little bit about your when did you appear in Broadway music productions? When did all that happen?
Well, I never was really on Broadway, but I did a lot of off Broadway productions.
Oh, off
Broadway, yeah. And then actually, what I was going to tell you is that when I was 17, how I really got into the business, at 17, a friend of mine they were so tired of hearing me say, I want to be in show business. I want to be in show business. And then one day, they came to my home, and they said, get in the car. And I said, where are we going? They said, don't worry about it. Just get in the car. Well, I did not know that in Akron, Ohio, they had a professional theater, and it was called Goodyear Musical Theater. And they took me to an audition. I auditioned for the musical Hello, Dolly. I got a small role, and I knew this was it. This was what I was going to do the rest of my life. And that's where I actually started my career. Then I never had a dancing lesson, but I was always agile because I was a skater. I was an artistic roller and ice skater, which kind of developed my dancing ability. Mm-hmm. So during the productions I was in, they would also book me to be one of the dancers in the chorus and all. And, of course, they were throwing out all kind of terminologies like ensemble, a glissade. And I thought, you know what, I better learn what these terminology means, because I was so good at mimicking that they thought that I had years of training. So I thought, I better learn how to do this, what's going on. So I started studying ballet, and within 3 years, I was st- studying at American Ballet Theater and taking master classes at Juilliard. And I did that for several years until the knees and the ankles started giving me a lot of pain. And most of my teachers walked with canes and crutches because ballet, it's beautiful, but it's very destructive to the body. And it catches up with you later in life. And so I decided, well, I don't want to be like that. So I left. And, of course, they weren't real happy because I was very fortunate. I never had to pay for a class. Everything I did, I always got scholarships after scholarship after scholarship. So they were training me to be a soloist and a premier dancer. And when I decided to walk away after several years of them investing in me, they weren't a happy camper. So that's when I started auditioning for off-Broadway shows. And that started my, basically, my acting career. And so I did that for about a year or two. And then I decided to go back to Ohio because I wanted to really focus on my singing. So I told my parents, I said, you know what, I'm going to buy a guitar and I'm going to learn how to play this thing. And I'm going to start doing nightclubs. So I went back to Ohio, bought a guitar, started taking lessons, and within 6 months, I thought I was pretty good enough, and I also started studying piano. And so I started going out for talent shows, and the first one I went out for, I tied for first, which I wasn't happy because I thought I should have won it. But then the second one I went out for, that night before I left, I'd called my mother, and I said, you know what? I'm going to win this, and they're going to love me so much that they're going to hire me. Well, that night, I guess I manifested it. I won it, and the next day at 4 o'clock, the band leader called me and hired me, and I sang with the band for 4 years, and that's where I really got all of my training. I'm basically self-taught in most of what I do, especially singing. I've never had a voice lesson in my life. And while living in Florida, I sang with an opera company for a couple of years. So that kind of tells you a little bit of my background, how I've arrived to where I am right now.
No, there's too much about your background. I'm reading it right now. Your bio is so long, Felita. I'm so sorry. Tell me about what you know.
That's just the short version. That's the short version. The real version is 6 pages long.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Tell me about when you got into, you sang released a country song, and tell me what that was, you know, what's the name of that, and tell me
I had a dream, and I was given a song, and I got up in the middle of the night, and I wrote it all out, and I went in and produced it, and it got me to Nashville. And it was called When We Make Love.
That's cool.
And it did very well regionally. And this is interesting. You know, in my career, most stuff has just come to me. I really haven't had to really pursue it. It just comes. And I got this idea that I was going to go, like they used to do in the old days, go to record stations and give them my song and get them to play it on the radio. Well, I walked into one of the stations, and I said, I have this country song out. I said, would you play it? Well, there was an intern there who had just started who didn't know a lot about it, and she said, sure. So they started playing it. It caught on. It started being playing all over the Midwest, and it got me to Nashville, and I did Nashville for a little bit, and I did all those shows down in Nashville. And then I decided, well, you know, this isn't really where I belong. But it did. It gave me a nice background in country music because I do all genres of music, I should say, except for hip-hop and rap. And I've tried those. And I guess I don't resonate with it. So I know what my forte is. What isn't my forte? So I kind of stay away from those different genres. But I was singing with a 52-piece orchestra in Florida.
Okay.
I was also singing with the Bel Canto Ensemble, which was a classical ensemble, which was part with the opera company. Mm-hmm. I was starring in the Brevard Theatrical Ensemble, which was a theatrical production company, and we wrote all of our own classical pieces. And I had the co-host of a television show called Brevard Notes in Florida. And I'm guided by spirit. I've talked about this many times, that I have I don't know if it's God, Jesus, an angel. I don't know who it is, but it kind of tells me what I'm supposed to do. And in 1990, I was singing with the 52-piece orchestra. And while on stage in performance, voice came into me and said, now I was singing for 5,000 people. And the voice said, you must move to California. You have to go to Palm Springs, California to meet the people who are going to take you to the next place in your life and career. I knew absolutely no one here, but I knew that when this voice speaks, because it had spoken to me before and led me to a lot of my successes in my career. So I walked away from 5 major jobs. I also was doing movies and television, and mm-hmm. I packed up my car and got on I-10 and drove 3,000 miles across the country all by myself because I knew I had some kind of destiny to meet.
Well, I have something I want to ask you real quickly. Dean Martin's from Ohio. You know where he's from, do you? Or heard of it? And things came natural to him, too. I mean, I know Dina Martin. You got to meet Dina Martin. I'm going to introduce you to her. You go to Vegas, I will introduce you to Dina Martin. And that's his daughter.
Dean Martin. Dean Martin's daughter. You know,
Dina.
We have had conversations. I've never met her in person, but we have had
wonderful.
A few conversations on Messenger. And I would love to meet her.
Yeah, you'll love her. She is just wonderful. She's been on I was on LA Talk Radio, and she's been on it like 3 times. She loves my shows. And I need to get her back on. I need to get her on BBS Radio. But anyway, I just remember her telling me about her dad and how he got famous. He was just a stock, did shelves or whatever you call it, department store. And he was stocking shelves one morning, and he was just singing away. And somebody caught him, some agent that was just in the area. And that's how he got picked up. So, and got, one thing led to another. And same thing, everything came really natural for him, too. It was just, even though he's a hoot, but, Dean Martin. But the point is everything came natural. And the same thing, with your talent. Maybe you're just meant to be where you are. But, we're also going to be talking about something that you have been given to with Palm Springs and mm-hmm. the country of Germany, too. So we want to let everybody know about that. So that's an exciting part. But I it's cool that you lived in Florida and you gave everything up to come to Hollywood and just went by instinct and, something inside you to just said, hey, you need to move. And you did it.
It said, this is your time. You must go now. You must be there to meet the people who are going to take you to the next place in your life and career. And, I wasn't even afraid. I had no fear. I just knew that there was something waiting for me, and I was to meet my destiny. And because I always knew what I was going to do, as I said earlier. And mm-hmm. I just, like all of us in the business, I didn't know how I was going to get there, and I didn't know how it was going to happen. But I knew somewhere down inside it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Then I remember Lily Tomlin one time. I remember an interview she did early in her career, when she said, how did you know that you were a star? She said, honey, I always knew I was a star. It just took time for the rest of the world to figure it out.
Aww, that's so cute.
I always
cute.
Loved that. Yeah.
That's cute. Would you go back to the movies or Broadway? You know what I mean? Would you do a movie?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm in a film right now called Turnover, which has done really well at all of the film festivals. It's won over 10 grand prizes. It's a really wonderful family film, and we have a lot of diverse actors in it. We have hearing impaired, Down syndrome, Jamie Brewer from America's Horror Story. She's one of the stars of the film. I just have a very, very small part in that. But I just worked on a new film called Team of Two, and it will be out sometime this year, and I play a detective in that film. But my main excitement is that I have become very good friends with the producer, one of the producers of the film Turnover, and her and I just really connected and resonated on a very high level. And now I'm going to be doing that film, in that film for her in November. Plus, I'm singing the title track of the film, which the song is "Why Can't Christmas Be Here Every Day." She has a film festival in Sholo, Arizona. She brought me to Sholo in November to debut the song for about 300 producers and directors, and it got a standing ovation. And this is another amazing thing that's happened. Like I said, things just come to me. When
lucky
they
had
discussed about me singing the song for the film, she just called me that day and said, "Do you write music?" And I said, "Nah, well, really not. I mean, I've written a couple songs, but I'm not a songwriter. As I say, I know where my talents lie and where they don't lie. But I said, I have enough friends in the business that I'm sure one of them can write a beautiful song." Well, that day I was having my energy was very low. Here's another thing that I would like to share. 3 years ago, all of my family passed within 10 months. I lost five family members in 10 months. It was very devastating. I sat in a chair for 3 months, so devastated, I really didn't want to live anymore. I mean, I'm very open and honest about all this. It took a lot out of me. It's taken me a long time to get back to where I am now. But I had posted that my energy was low and on Facebook, and please send me energy. Well, little did I know, my friend in Northern California, he writes amazing music for movies. Mm-hmm. Well, he had sent me an email right after that, and I thought, okay, this evening I'll open it up and see what it is. So right after I talked to her on the telephone, I thought, okay, let me open this email and see what this is. Would you believe it? It was a Christmas song.
Wow.
And I knew within 5 seconds, this song was something beyond amazing. I knew it. I listened to it. I called her up. And I said, "Oh, my God, Martina." I said, "The song was just given to me." I sent it off to her. Everybody was blown away by the song. And as I said, I debuted it, and it got a standing ovation. So now they have spoken to me. Soon after the movie is released, they want to submit it to the Grammys. It's that great.
Wow. Okay, well, we're going to be right back after these messages, and we'll continue on.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Hidden Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Hidden Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
It's time to live your journey. Envision being stress-free. The Life Vessel is relaxation therapy that helps reduce stress, manage pain, detoxifies on all levels, supports the immune system, and balances hormones. Life Vessel uses an infrared light source that increases blood circulation and oxygen to the cells. Life Vessel of Utah does that and so much more. Call at 801-864-1300, lifevesselofutah.com.
Do you know how much equity is in your home, condo, or townhome? Do you want to lower your rate and take cash out? We're Valorem Equity, and we make mortgages easier. Give us a call at 800-764-9072 or visit valoremequity.com to receive your free home assessment today.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
Hey, this is Rocktop Construction. Rocktop is a family-owned business based out of Utah. We specialize in replacing worn or storm-damaged roofs and understand how to assist homeowners with property claims. For reliable service and the best value on a quality and energy-efficient roof, call Rocktop Construction at 801-567-1234. We have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Again, that's 801-567-1234 to find out more about how we can protect your home.
If you or someone you know is looking to find the right business to buy, to franchise an existing successful business, or even to sell a business, contact businessresource.com. B-I-Z-N-I-S, businessresource.com. Business Resource also specializes in helping existing businesses find capital and other important resources to help them be more efficient and more effective. Call 385-528-8584 today. 385-528-8584. BusinessResource.com.
I'm back here sitting with Prince Fleet Easton out of Palm Springs, California. So, Fleet, tell me a little bit more about Florida, your tour nationally, and you also starred in Tiny Tim in the national tour of Christmas Carol.
Yes, I did the national tour of A Christmas Carol and played Tiny Tim. It was so funny because I was a little older than Tiny Tim would be. And it was so funny. They had already been in production for 3 months and they'd went through two Tiny Tims already. And I got a call from the production company. I had submitted my resume and headshot 2 years before to the company and I had forgotten all about it. And they called me out of the blue, and they said, we're getting ready to go on tour, and would you be interested in being Tiny Tim? And I said, really? I said, well, I'm an adult. They said, yeah, but you look very young and youthful. We think you can pull it off. I said, okay. I had 1 week to learn a full script that everybody had already been in production for 3 months.
I took
a recorder and I recorded the whole show, played all the characters, gave them each a voice, lived with it in my ear for the whole week. Then I re-recorded again and removed all my parts, left it blank where I could respond. And that's how I learned the script in 1 week. I walked in to the producer. They took me in a room and they kind of talked to me and they fed me some lines and they went, oh my God, you know this show better than everyone else that has been in production for 3 months, because I had I learned everybody's part in a week.
Unbelievable. And also,
tour,
too,
I went on tour for 3 months. Huh?
That is amazing. That's you know, memorizing a script. Sometimes we have to do what we have to do. Now, also, too, you've been in a series with Tom Hanks. What was that like?
Yes, I when I was working in Florida, I did 9 episodes of Earth to the Moon with Tom Hanks was the producer. You know, during the late
90s,
he
was a producer.
He was a producer.
Oh,
He did a couple of guest shots, but he was the main producer. Mm-hmm. During the late 90s in Florida, they did all the space movies. I mean, Apollo 13, Earth to the Moon. I did the TV series The Cape, which was about the astronauts, and I played a Russian cosmonaut, and I got that part by being on another TV show, and they mm-hmm. happened to rotate directors, and one day the Russian director was on set, and he saw me, and he walked over. He started pinching my cheeks and going, "Oh my God, I found my Russian cosmonaut. Look, oh my God, look at those cheekbones. You look Belarus. He says, "Oh my God, I found my Russian." So I end up being a Russian cosmonaut. I was on for, I think, 4 episodes till they killed me off. I'm the uh-huh. first, actually the first person to die in space that they tried to do realistically. Because no one ever died in space, so they didn't know really what it would be like. So I was in makeup for 10 hours, in the makeup chair for 10 hours, getting ready for the part. I couldn't see. They had patches over my eyes to make my eyes look sunken in. I had to be led by an assistant all around the set. And I had prosthetic teeth, so I couldn't open my mouth. And it was so funny because I was kind of getting a little, my sugar was dropping. I hadn't eaten all day. And they were trying to take knives and slide rice between my teeth, anything to get food into me. They went out and got milkshakes, and they were trying to, like, intravenously feed them through the teeth. So I wasn't passing out. Because I was only supposed to be in the chair for like 4 hours, and I was in the chair for 10 hours.
Oh my gosh.
But it was funny.
The
it was great. It was
do.
A great, great experience.
Yes.
I love what I do.
You have done so much, and I'm just reading your bio, which is probably just 3 pages compared to 6 or 12 that you have.
Yeah.
I told you to give me a small bio. You gave me a mouthful.
That's my short one. That's my short one.
Yeah. You've done everything. Presented in Broadway, pop, classical, and the opera.
Yeah.
What was the opera like?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
Well, you know, here's what's interesting about that. Like I said, I have never had a voice lesson in my life. So when Beatrice Moore, who was with the Metropolitan Opera, she was in Florida. She decided she wanted to start a company called the Bel Canto, and she was looking for male singers. Well, there wasn't really any male opera singers in the area. Mm-hmm. So I was recommended to her, and so I had a meeting with her, and she said, "Honey, I love your voice, but you have to sing classical pieces." I said, "You know what? I know I can do it." I said, "Just give me a chance." She said, "Okay, go home and learn a piece and come back and sing it for me." So mm-hmm. I went home. I worked 3 weeks on Nessun Dorma. I came back and sang it for her, and she fell out of her chair. And she said, "Oh, my God, what you were able to, with not any voice training, what you've done is absolutely amazing." And I was with them for 3 years until I moved to Florida. And it was a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you try, because opera is not easy, because I saw that there, like, you did opera too.
Well,
and
if you go on my, YouTube, and also on my Facebook page, I just posted, I did a show Sunday night, and I have one of the pieces I have on there is me singing Nessun Dorma. So if people want to go to Prince Fleet Easton on Facebook, it's open to the public, so anyone can go on there and find it on Google and go on there if they'd like to hear what I do.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to go on there as well myself. And you also did, of course, we talked about Broadway, and then you did pop and you did classical. So tell me about the difference between the classical and the opera. I mean,
well, classical pieces like Gilbert and Sullivan, pieces like that. It's more American opera. And then I also sang great pieces like from all the Broadway shows, If I Loved You, you know, these Impossible Dream. They're kind of crossover from classic to The Great American Songbook. Those songs kind of cross over there a little bit.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And then tell me a little bit about, you know, of course, the move to California and then the charity work that you do.
Well, you know, that's been always one of my things. I heard Oprah one time years ago say, God, let me experience the things that my heart desires and I will do great things with them. So I became very involved in charity work, and I still now, I mean, that's part of, I have a star on the Palm Springs Walk of Stars, and part of that, it's not just because I'm a singer and actor and I live here. It's because I have either produced, contributed, performed for over 250 charity events in the Valley within the last 12 years that I have lived here. It's part of what I do. And I spent, for 3 years, I fed the homeless 5 days a week, until my career got to where I didn't have the availability to do that anymore. But I believe to move forward, you must give back. And, you know, it's just what I do. And I've been very, very fortunate to work with a lot of wonderful organizations. I've worked with Make-A-Wish Foundation, March of Dimes.
You sang at the national anthem, singing for Michael Jordan and the Blue Ducks basketball.
When I was in Florida, Michael Jordan, he had a basketball team there called the Blue Ducks. They had a major audition call. And, I mean, thousands of people auditioned for it. And I ended up getting the position of being the national anthem singer. And also for the Florida Marlins, I was one of, I think, six for the Florida Marlins that we rotated singing the national anthem for them at the stadium. So that, I've had a very interesting career. And now I'm working a lot with the United States government. And I'm working with...
What are you doing?
I'm working with Jackie Goldberg and her organization. And I just sang for the opening of the new columbarium at the Los Angeles National Cemetery. It was closed for quite a while. And what they've done now, they built a section that has 80,000 niches for cremation for military men and women to be placed there if they choose to do so. So I sang for the opening of it, along with Gary Sinise, was a speaker, and it was produced by Washington, D.C. It was wonderful. It was all filmed, and all of the film footage went into an archive that will not be opened for 100 years. It will take place again in 100 years. And I laughed. I said, I guess I won't be here for the next one.
Oh, come on. Yes, you will. Yeah, you will. You will be. They'll record it.
But I was part of history, and I was very honored to be a part of history. And now I'm going to be back there next month singing again for another one of the their military events, where they're honoring all the families of the men and women deployed in the Middle East. So I'll be doing an event for them at the cemetery next month again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Please, you have done so much. You know, I've talked to a lot of actors and actresses. You have done, you have done twice the work they have done. You have done so much. And also, too, one of the most important things we want to talk about is your, how you became, you know, coordinated as Prince. So,
okay, well,
tell me a little about
okay,
that.
Here's, it's an interesting story. Just sit back and get your coffee. There we go.
Okay, I am. I'm sitting back.
Okay. Well, because I had done so many charity events here, they started tagging me as the Prince of Palm Springs. Well, at that time, I had a press agent, and they said, you know what, we need to get the city to sanction this. And I said, well, that would be wonderful. At that time, there was a lot of things going on with the city, and we weren't able to make it coordinate. So I was in at an event in Hollywood, and Beverly Hills, and I met Prince Mario Max Schaumburg-Lippe of Germany. I was at this event, and it was being filmed, and I really didn't care to be on camera. All these people were trying to get on camera, so I stayed in the back, and I was over by myself, and I saw there was the Hiltons were there, and I didn't know Prince Max, who he was, and I did Prince Frederick of Germany, he was there. So Prince Max comes over, and I had my hair all spiked up, and I looked kind of wild. And he says, you look very interesting. Who are you? And I said, well, I am Prince Fleet. He says, oh, very nice to meet you. He says, and what principality do you represent? I said, Palm Springs. And he went, oh, he says, and I said, and you are? He says, I'm Prince Mario Max Schaumburg of Germany. And I wanted to crawl under the table. I was kind of embarrassed. We got a big laugh out of it. And he said, I love it. He said, you have branded yourself now that you could put your name on any product or anything. So a couple days later, I contacted Prince Max, and I said, you know, we've been trying to get this sanctioned, and I have this crazy idea. I said, for a publicity stunt that I think would be amazing, I said, if I could have a real prince crown me as Prince of Palm Springs. He said, I love the idea. He said, yes, I'm willing to do it. So I spent like a month or so organizing it. We had over 300 people attend the coronation. They turned away between 100 and 200 people that wanted to attend it. We coordinated it with my birthday celebration. And so he said, well, I'm going to bring something special. And I didn't know what that meant. And so the night of the coronation, after he placed the crown on my head, he presented me with a proclamation naming me Prince Fleet, and that Palm Springs is now my actual principality. So I kind of did become a prince, and a proclamation from the royal families naming me Legendary Entertainer of the World for 2016. And now only five people in the world actually have that proclamation. Margaret O'Brien is one of them, that was the child star, and now she's a legend. She's still alive. She's almost 90 years old. And I'm one of, and I think they also presented Beyonce with the proclamation also. So I'm in good company. So that's how I became the Prince of Palm Springs. Plus the family, his mother, Princess Antonio, they adore me. And they said, you know what, we want you to be our American son, and you are our prince.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sweet. And it opened many doors for you, even more than you needed, but because you're already so busy. So it just added more to your...
What? I was going to tell you, when I got my star, I thought, okay, well, this also needs to be an overtop production. They usually have stars come in and speak for you and, you know, give your accolades and all. But with me being in doing so much charity work, I'm also on the board of directors of a college in San Jose, California, called the College of Adaptive Arts. And we have a lot of students that have challenges. We have some Down syndrome students. We have muscular dystrophy. We have all different things and can come there and learn different skills, becoming actors. They can work in front of the camera, behind the camera. They can learn art. We have dance classes. So they can get, like, degrees in all these different areas. And we actually have some students now that have went on that are working in Hollywood. But the reason I tell you that is I thought, okay, when I get my star, this needs to represent who I am as a person. So I invited one of the Down syndrome students from the college to speak for me. I had Miss Wheelchair California 2012 who spoke with a computer. Mm-hmm. And then I had Mark Salante, who is Tiger Man. He's an internationally anti-bullying hero that teaches children all types of, from all different categories, and he dresses like a tiger man. So people could Google him up too, Tiger Man. And then also I had Prince Max come. So I hired a royal coach, and we all came in down the street in a royal coach pulled by a black Clydesdale horse led by bagpipers. It was over the top production, and it's on YouTube, so people can pull that up and watch the whole ceremony and see us arriving in the royal coach and all.
Wow. That is so amazing. That's so amazing. And oh my gosh, you have done so much in your lifetime. Did you say your parents were still alive or?
In 2000,
they passed away.
Here's what's interesting. In 2016, I got my star. I got all the things I've been working for. And when 2017 started, all my family started passing. Every 2 months, another one passed.
That's what you said. Yeah. Yeah, I figured I didn't catch that. So 2017, but you got everything in 2016.
16, I got everything.
Wow.
And in 2017,
did you have a dinner?
And, you know,
did you have a
go ahead.
Like a ball dinner or anything like that?
Did I have what? Sorry, again?
Did you have a ball, like a dinner? Like a ball, formal?
Well, we did after my star thing. But you know what? That is something. It's very interesting because I've been thinking about very seriously creating a foundation, a royal gala ball for charity in the name of Prince Fleet. So that's something I'm working on right now. That's in the back of my mind. It's rolling around that I want to do here in Palm Springs. Also, I was given, like I told you, I'm told things, and my voice said I will open a humanitarian center somewhere in the future. And I also have Miss Wheelchair California Cheerleader. They want to form a foundation with me to help me create and make that all come about. So that's somewhere down in my future somewhere there, along with everything else that I'm going to do in the future that I don't know about.
Does it have to be in the United States or anywhere in the world?
It could be anywhere in the world. But I do want to open one here in Palm Springs. We, you know, because of this being such a beautiful destination, we have a large homeless population here, very large. I think the last count is up to like 6,000.
It's everywhere.
Just like L.A. And, you know, we have resources here, but not all the resources really needed to take. We can feed them and stuff, but there needs to be resources to help them get a hand up and not a hand out.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. And tell me about, you know, the star you talked about, that working in Hollywood. So have you gone down to Hollywood and did some things down there in LA?
Oh yeah, that's where I'm working. That's where I'm doing the movies. That's where, you know, like I'm very forced. Well, when I came here, I did a lot. I worked a lot here and performed in all the clubs here, and I was a star of one of the cabaret shows for 8 years. But my goal when I got here really was to get to Hollywood. And here's another thing my voice said. It said, you need to be in Palm Springs, because if you go to Hollywood, you're only going to be one among a million other fishes. You're going to be a small fish in a big pond. Palm Springs, you can become a big fish in a small pond, and Hollywood comes here. And that's how my connection all started, because I was seen here, and Hollywood opened up opportunities for me to come to Hollywood. And one thing has led to another. And a lot of my work I get from the red carpet. I go to the red carpet events, and I meet producers and directors. And I've learned that if they love you, they open doors for you, and if you really connect. And that's how most of my opportunities in Hollywood are happening now, from meeting people on the red carpet.
What about, what if you had an opportunity to appear in Las Vegas to do a show? You're still in Palm Springs, but you fly down there to do a show.
Oh, my gosh, I would. And my goal is to work. I did appear in Las Vegas when I was on tour years and years and years ago. And I had, that was in 94. They were just digging up Fremont Street. I have not been back to Vegas since. I have not even seen what they built when they were building the walkway there. And I would love to. Oh, no, my goal is to do everything in the business.
I have an opportunity, and I'll talk to you after the show, that has to do with Las Vegas. It's to come down.
Okay.
I have a guest appearance down there as well. So, and I got an awesome interview with a royal family that's coming in April of this year. So, and I plus I can do a show, and they're going to appear on my show. So I want you to come down and get you in front of Dina Martin too.
Okay,
and
I'd love to.
Because, and I have other friends down there in Vegas as well that's done some really awesome stuff. But I can see you doing a show at one of the appearances. I mean, the Donnie Marie's gone, so why not bring in you?
My friend appears at the Four Queens. Steve Conley, who has Spirit of the King show, the Elvis show. I was his opening act for a year.
But not in Palm Springs.
They brought the show here, and I was his opening act.
You earned your title. Let's get you doing a show. Maybe get you filling in with, to appear with Dina. Get the wheels spinning.
I would love to get my feet wet. To get my feet wet, I'd love to, maybe make a small personal, like do a few songs and stuff and get my feet wet. And that would be wonderful, and let people in Vegas know who I am. As I said, Kathy, I feel like I'm just getting started. I've been at this a long time, but I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? That's a good way to look at things, because that's when doors open up and you're still feeling like, I'm just getting started. So that's a good attitude, especially with the show business, Hollywood, Vegas, anything to do with performing arts. I have too many friends who they did enough. They did enough. I've done 30 years. I'm tired. I'm like, okay.
America's Got Talent just called me, and I've had three meetings with them. I don't know where that stands. I haven't heard from them, but I had three meetings with them, but I told them, if it's meant to
be,
it is. If it isn't, it's okay.
Be a judge. That would be so cool.
They found me.
I see you.
They wanted me to be a contestant.
What? No.
They wanted me to be a contestant. They found me on YouTube, and I told them, my God, for you to find me on YouTube when there's 100 million videos on YouTube, I said, that has to be divinely guided.
But also, too, come on, do you really want to be a contestant? Why don't you be? I can see you in Vegas doing your own gig. All you have to do is fly down in, fly out, you do a weekend gig, and then you're out. They do what? Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah, 4 days.
Well, we'll talk.
3 to 4 days. You do the same routine over and over. Because I knew Donnie Marie.
Yeah.
So they just told me it's the same routine over. It's a little twist, but other than that, it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over. They did that for years, so they're out. So why not you go in?
Awesome.
But yeah,
well,
they
like
retired.
I said, that's one of my goals is to go to Vegas. You know, I want to do everything in the business. And another thing, David Foster. My goal has been one day I want to work with David Foster. That is part of my manifesting dream. He's just the most amazing person. And if he loves you, he opens the world to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. Hold in.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Head & Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Head & Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
It's time to live your journey. Envision being stress-free. The Life Vessel is relaxation therapy that helps reduce stress, manage pain, detoxifies on all levels, supports the immune system, and balances hormones. Life Vessel uses an infrared light source that increases blood circulation and oxygen to the cells. Life Vessel of Utah does that and so much more. Call at 801-864-1300, lifevesselofutah.com.
Do you know how much equity is in your home, condo, or townhome? Do you want to lower your rate and take cash out? We're Valorem Equity, and we make mortgages easier. Give us a call at 800-764-9072 or visit valoremequity.com to receive your free home assessment today.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
Hey, this is Rocktop Construction. Rocktop is a family-owned business based out of Utah. We specialize in replacing worn or storm-damaged roofs and understand how to assist homeowners with property claims. For reliable service and the best value on a quality and energy-efficient roof, call Rocktop Construction at 801-567-1234. We have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Again, that's 801-567-1234 to find out more about how we can protect your home.
If you or someone you know is looking to find the right business to buy, to franchise an existing successful business, or even to sell a business, contact businessresource.com. BIZNIS, businessresource.com. Business Resource also specializes in helping existing businesses find capital and other important resources to help them be more efficient and more effective. Call 385-528-8584 today. 385-528-8584. BusinessResource.com.
If you're just tuning in, I'm sitting here with Prince Fleet of Easton, Palm Springs, California. So, Fleet, tell me about your latest. What are you doing right now? And you're filming something, you're filming a film right now, a movie. And then you got some upcoming gigs coming up?
Yeah. Well, I do appear here in town once a month at the American Legion. I love them. They are so wonderful to me, and they're so kind. But that's here in the Valley. That's the only thing I really am involved there. But like I said, I have several other things coming up with the Los Angeles National Cemetery. Right now, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, what am I doing? I've got a lot of stuff coming up. And my mind is like, it's racing through all so many things. Oh, goodness. Let me think. What am I doing? Well, you know what? Like I said, if they want to go to Prince Fleet Easton, they can follow me, or Fleet Easton 123 on Instagram. I've got so many things. I've got a couple other films that are in the works that I really can't talk about yet. They're out there in the ethers wandering around. And I'm going to Vegas with you.
Yes, you will be next
up.
Month.
That's coming up in the future.
Yeah, you'll meet me in Vegas. But anyway, I got a lot of things going up. You're going to have a blast in Vegas. And I have a lot of people to introduce you to, as well as I need to meet up with. And I like the fact that you involved in film. You know, it's nice to see you in pictures as well.
Uh-huh. Well, I love working on film. I went for 10 years without working on films, and it's just this last year that those opportunities have started opening up for me again. And I told them, I said, I just want, right now I'd like just like smaller roles. I don't want a major role yet. I just want to get my feet wet again, where I feel comfortable, on set, where I don't feel overwhelmed, where I have to carry it. But eventually, I want to get back to that, to where, where I have a major role, and I know it will, because I'm very driven, Kathy. I think you can.
Yeah, I know that. I noticed that about.
But
and
I love what I do.
Where do you see yourself in the next 3 years?
I see myself as on the world stage, and what I mean that is, I mean where I'm flying all over the world, appearing everywhere. That's something that has always been my dream, to be an internationally known artist. And I don't want to say a celebrity or a star, but an internationally known artist, because I see myself different than how everybody else does. I just do what I do.
Why don't you get called to be Dancing with the Stars? Wouldn't that be so cool? Do they still do that?
It's so funny. It's so funny. I was just here. They have Dancing with the Stars, and they just contacted me last week and said, "Is that something you would be interested in doing?" This is their version here. But that's funny that you mentioned that, because that's not something I ever had in my brain or my vision. But you know what? I'm open to everything. I love it all. Bring it on. I'll try it.
I would love to see you in Vegas. I would like to see you. I think you would draw a good audience from Europe to Canada to Japan that would come and see you. And be on the strip, New York, or any of those strips that have a good name that would give you a shine. I can see you in New York. You look like that guy that would just do all those classical songs dancing.
Well, also Bruno March. They call me Bruno Rocci, because I don't know if you've ever seen some of my videos. I do Bruno Mars his songs too, but I am on tables. I swing from chandeliers. I'm up on ledges. I mean, I scare people.
But that's what Vegas would be. That would be, they love the excitement and the entertainment that's there. And when Donnie and Marie did Vegas, their stardom was okay. It wasn't, up there, but they did it for like 14 or 15 years, I think. don't get me wrong, like, it could be longer, but you know, that made that opened doors for them, opened a lot of doors.
Well, you know, it's so funny because so many of the people that I know from Vegas that work Vegas, they say to me, God, you need to be in Vegas. You need to be in Vegas. You're so high energy, and people
love
just
you.
Adore
they would love
they
you.
They adore, you know, my audiences, they do. My audiences adore me. And they keep saying, you should go to Vegas. You should go to Vegas. Well, I said, you know what? When it's supposed to happen, the opportunity will present itself.
Yeah, you're going in April. So you'll be down there. And you, Pierre McCarthy Lee Parker, are going to do a live show in Vegas. So maybe
okay,
two,
awesome.
Because I'm meeting with another customer down there. So, but I just want to thank you so much for coming on my show. It was fun. I want you to come back again because we still haven't finished everything you have ever done in your life. You know, you always have something exciting going on. And I'll bring you back in the next couple months and see, you know, this summer or late summer and see what you're up to, or fall and see what you got going for, you know, the end of the year and things like that, you know, concerts, any events.
It's been wonderful. And thank you. I'm very honored. And thank you so much for taking the time to ask me to be on your show and allowing me to just share or impart what I've done in my life, you know, and as I said, I'm just getting started. We're getting ready to go into Act Two.
We are. Oh, so you were so number one. Okay, we're getting ready to, let's do it. So I look forward to seeing you in Las Vegas in April, and I just want to thank you, Prince Fleek Easton, for coming on my show. I do look forward to meeting you.
Thank you. And it was an honor for me. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'll inform you a little bit more about Vegas. Give me at least 48 hours and we will set that up. Okay.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much.
Well,
and
you have
I want to thank all the, listening audience. Thank you so much for allowing me to take up this time in your life. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much. And we will catch up with you soon. Okay.
Have a beautiful
and
day.
And I like you too. And I like to thank BBS Radio for putting us live on the air, and also too for Primetime Media. I'd like to thank both of them, and thank you for tuning in. And you have a great evening.